T-minus 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Launch Sequence Podcast. Oh, today we've got a good one. Mainly because it's going to be just me. You know, this is a show where I usually bring somebody on and talk to them about space games. Usually Star Citizen. But sometimes I go do things a little bit different. Episode 100 was really fun. We actually had 7 different people come on, and I kind of did a overarching story across a few episodes. You should check that out if you haven't seen it. This one's going to be a solo show. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about the year of 2023, everything that happened, and what we might see in the beginning of next year. So I did this last year. We did it on YouTube, and I think it's better suited for a longer format kind of thing, you know, with all the ums and us that you can imagine, because it's not going to be scripted. I mean, except for this part, but I've already gone off script, so it doesn't really matter. Either way, this is the Launch Sequence Podcast, episode 133, I believe, and we're going to be just kind of chatting back and forth. Hope you enjoy it. I'm your host, Space Tomato. This is my guest, Just Space, and we're going to dive into this year and next year in Star Citizen. First, we're going to talk about what happened throughout the year. Instead of doing this chronologically, I kind of just want to hit the major things. I don't want to take too much of you guys' time. It's Christmas season. Spend some time with family. I just want to give you a little update on what's been going on. Some of you only stop in for this episode, right? For the yearly update. And, you know, let's see what we can do for you. So this year we had several free fly events. I think it was 5 or 6, maybe. All of them, I believe, are over a week long. So this resulted in around a month and a half of completely free Star Citizen for people to play. This is, I think, a really important thing for Star Citizen. They started doing this a lot more around 2019. Before that, it wasn't as common. I mean, 2019 really was the first year that the game was playable. 3.3.5 came out with object container streaming, and frame rates were above 10. So since that time, they've been doing a lot of free flies. And the free flies are good, in my opinion, because Star Citizen is a game that suffers from, I don't want to say a bad first impression, but generally a bad first listen. That's changed a lot over the last year and a half, 2 years. But before then, back when the free flies were first starting, a lot of people were hearing about Star Citizen in the negative at first. And the easiest way to show somebody that something is actually real is to offer it to them for free. I mean, you know what? That's actually very untrue. Somebody slash that from the record. You know what? That's actually, with a video game, it works, all right? If you offer the game for free, at least it gives people the chance to say, hey, you know what? If it's a scam, whatever, I didn't waste any money. And that has worked for them. That actually allowed them to have an amazing 2020 and an even better 2021, I believe. They've been growing for quite a while. I've actually got the numbers here I'm going to talk about here in a couple minutes. But the free flies are a big part of that. They bring in people, they allow them to check out the game, and they also allow people who don't want to buy into the game to see regularly throughout the year how the progress is. If you come into a free fly in 2022, and the game barely runs, come in 2023 and it runs but you're falling through the floor, and you come in 2024 and suddenly it plays good, you can see that over the years they're making some good effort, and that on its own is also enough reason, I think, for people to jump in. Maybe somebody who's listening to this is doing that very thing. So free fly events, good job. 5 or 6 of them, it's regularly spaced throughout. Usually they're attached to sales, but those players should just ignore that, just play the game. As of today, the total dollar amount that they've made over the last year is 114 million. Now, this is already exceeding last year's by about 0.5%, which is a good takeaway. It's good money. It's staying in line with last year and the amazing work that they did last year, but it's not really keeping that momentum up. If you look at last year's numbers, like I said, I do have them up here, so I'm not going to put them on screen for anybody, but I'm going to reference them. 2021, actually, let's go back to 2020, was a big year, right? The pandemic started. They had a 65% increase on sales that year. They went from 47 million in 2019 to 78 million in 2020. From there, they hit 86 million in 2021, 10% increase. From there, they hit 113 million in 2022 with a 31% increase. Now, there are reasons for that. I think a big part of that was Elite Dangerous had a rough time, and a lot of players moved over from there. There were also some very, very big YouTubers who started playing the game all kind of around the same time. I would say within 6 months of each other or so. The game had finally started to get a little bit more playable for FPS players, and those players make Star Citizen look a lot more fun. So I think that also brought a lot more players in 2021, and CIG probably wanted to maintain more of that momentum than they did over this year. There are a couple things that they did this year that I think helped them get some of that growth back, like the F8 sale. But ultimately, I don't think this was entirely what they wanted. But we'll have to see. They've got a lot of expansion going on. They're trying to reach a ton of new employees, and they're opening new studios. So they've got a lot to pay for, but their engine is kind of done. We'll talk about that later, but that's a big part of, I think, their time and resource costs. The increase in accounts also dropped by 25%. Not also dropped, money didn't drop, but the increase in accounts did drop by 25%. Again, I think that's because of that big blossom in 2022 we saw. Standout year, but it's good that they did maintain some level of the same numbers. Let me see if I can find. So it looks like the Citizen increase, the number of accounts, was around 20,000. That doesn't make any sense. I'm looking at that number wrong. I'll have to double check on that, but there was definitely a decrease in the amount of players joining this year, and that's probably a big part because the first 4 to 5 months of the year were like a catastrophe. 3.18 was not the best patch release of Star Citizen, and it certainly killed a lot of the momentum they had from 2022, and then the summer also was very slow. So, a good year. Definitely a successful year. But maybe not as good as they had wanted, given all of the things that are going on in the company and sort of the big moments that they're having right now with Squadron 42 coming up. They're going to need to have to cover a lot of costs with Squadron 42 and the marketing and the delivery and all the other things. So, overall, this year was also dominated by PES. PES was basically getting rolled out around this time last year and rolled into 2023 in the testing servers. It really didn't run too terribly in the testing servers for a while, but it kept the 3.18 update in PTU for, I want to say, 3 months. It was in PTU, and most of that time was not open. So it was definitely a slowdown on the momentum for a lot of players. Many people took breaks. Many people completely turned away from the game for a while. And then 3.18 actually went live, and it was much worse than the PTU. The game basically couldn't be entered. I was stuck on the loading screen most of the time. You actually couldn't load into the game. Like, sometimes you couldn't even get into the, like, you couldn't get past the launcher. It was the worst I've ever seen Star Citizen. And that hurt them a lot. It's a testament that they were able to bounce back from that and still match the previous year's funding, but it definitely hurt them in several ways, I think, and they learned a lot from that. There's a couple of different things that they've started implementing to help with that kind of stuff. Like, there are tools they were working on that just weren't ready at the time. Like, the Cloud Test Launcher is something they've been building for a while that allows them to spawn clients that act as clients. They replicate the connection, the assets loading, the animations, all of the stuff that a normal player would do. They can load those on the fly in the engine to test certain things in the game. That wasn't ready at the time. It's now something they can use more for things like that. I think it was ready, but maybe not at its full scale. There are also some other things that they are doing in terms of optimization. We are seeing that they're releasing things like the replication layer split, which we'll discuss a little bit later, and server meshing as a whole. They're doing a lot more testing and a lot more levels of rollout to that instead of just releasing it straight from PTU to live. They don't want to have another thing that, like what happened with 3.18. They're very well aware of how much that sucked for everyone involved, including probably mostly them. So PES was a big thing, and it caused a lot of problems, but ultimately it's now in the game, or at least we all think it's in the game. Some people don't believe so. And it's starting to make things like salvage possible and cargo containers and things like that all come into the game. So while it didn't have a big effect at first, it's now allowing other teams to start putting in things that are going to make a huge effect to the rest of the game. Another big topic this year, one that I think gets passed over quite a bit, is that Turbulent was acquired. Turbulent is actually the studio that is largely responsible for PES. They're putting in a lot of the work for server meshing. They've built a lot of the websites. They've created all the hospitals, the medical clinics, many of the derelict ships, derelict settlements. They've done a lot of work on the new UGFs and distribution centers. The colonial outposts that we're seeing in Pyro, the space stations in Pyro, they've had their hands in a lot of the pots of Star Citizen. And I won't say it's been low-key, like they've been very open about it, but if you're not watching, you might miss it. And I certainly was missing a lot of it until I went back and looked just these last couple months, just how many of the devs in the Montreal and Turbulent studio were like showing up in ISCs or CitizenCon panels, and you didn't know they were there, but they were presenting on big things. So it's cool to see how much they're doing. They've been working for Star Citizen 10 years now, 11 years. So they're pretty well aware of how it works, what's going on. They're fully bought in. Like they really do believe in the idea and where the game's headed, clearly based on their development. And now they are owned by the studio. They're a good acquisition, in my opinion, because they're very much focused on high-tech implementations in studios, like in games, in movies, and in the web. Those are all things that Chris Roberts and the team at CIG seem to be really interested in, with Spectrum and obviously Star Citizen. So they're a good acquisition, I think, and obviously they've done a lot of good work for the team already. PES is a huge success, seems. I think the jury might still be out on that, but you know, if it's working right now, then it's working. We got to see how long things will last, but I think PES has been implemented to some extent and they're working on it, and I think that's a pretty big milestone. So that's a good acquisition. Good on them. This year also did see its four major updates. This is something that people were pretty worried about when 3.18 was lagging behind. People thought that the update structure had changed finally. Even when 3.19 was announced, it was kind of 3.18.1. So there was the whole idea, is this actually how things are going to be from now on? Are we just going to go through a bunch of iterations of 3.18? But we did end up still getting 3.20, 3.21, and 3.22 later in the year, all with different code branches. So five updates, four of them major, pretty decent amount of features and things involved, in my opinion. We did miss out on a lot of the things that we were supposed to get. A lot. Oh my gosh. And man, I think I'm going to talk about that. I have that written down. I got notes here. And I'm pretty sure I have that written down. But we're going to talk about that, because that letter from the chairman last year set us up. And the development did not knock us down. So this was, it was a good year for progress. Players feel like they're playing a different game. And a lot of that is due to some of the features we're about to talk about. But in general, this game has changed quite a bit over the last couple of years, mostly on the more industrial side of things. Things like inventory and our ability to interact with parts of the game have taken some pretty big steps up. Let's talk about the features that came out this year. The major features, really. The ones that I think moved the needle in terms of what the game experience is going to be. First up is a new player experience. This was sorely needed. I wouldn't say it solved all the problems with the new player experience. It's still really painful. But it has gone a long way in helping people feel a little bit more confident in jumping in. If you're a new player and you know there's a tutorial, at the very least, it'll teach you how to like move. So that's good. And the fact that they are implementing it in more locations and hopefully are building on it is also good. I think finally having a tutorial that's modular, that's in the game, that can be changed as the game changes is really the key. And at some point, like with a lot of these other features, people are going to look back and be like, wait, there, you guys didn't have a tutorial at one point? Love that about this game. We talked about PES already, but you can never over-talk how important that is. PES, for anybody who doesn't know, is persistent entity streaming. It is the ability for the game's replication layer, which we've mentioned a couple times here. It's the ability for the true database of information that gets shared to every computer in the world and every server at CIG. Make sure that they're all updated to have the exact same entities. So the game is persistently it's persistently streaming entities to all these different places to make sure that everything's up to date. And it's not easy across the internet, especially with a game like this that's got all these different kinds of objects. I mean, I think there's something like 270,000. No, I can't remember what it is. But if you look at a like a layout of a spaceship in this game, there's too many parts. And this system has to take control and remember the state of every single one of those things, whether it's damaged, whether it's scratched, whether it's being affected by gravity or somebody's holding it, has to take all that data, keep it updated in real time across the world, and make sure everyone's seeing the same thing. And it's not easy. So it was a difficult implementation, but it was necessary for server meshing to work. So the next step now is server meshing. Hull scraping was made possible by PES, though. Uses the damage maps on the ships to allow you to scrape off the outside of the spaceships and package them into little RMC boxes. This is, I don't know what RMC stands for, I don't remember, but these are boxes of reclaimed material. Maybe that's it, reclaimed material containers? I don't know. You can sell these for money. Eventually, we'll be able to craft with them, but right now you can sell them for money. This basically created a new profession in the game, the salvager. And there are four different types of salvage. We'll go over some of the others today because those were added throughout the years. But there are a couple more aspects of salvage that are going to come online in the future. So we're not quite done with it, but it is now an alternative to mining for an actual thing to spend all your time doing. I like it. I think it's really relaxing. It's basically just Power Wash Simulator. And there's a lot more to the gameplay than just pressing the button or being there and doing it. There's, you know, how do you find your salvage? What are you going for specifically? Where are you selling your salvage to get the most money or use out of it? Are you doing this in a multi-person sort of mission? There's a lot of variables here. And having this basic functionality, I think, is good for a lot of players, but also leaves a lot to be desired that hopefully we see a little bit more about next year. Another thing made possible at PES was physical cargo. Feels like ages ago, to be honest. It was about a year to the date now that we started to see finally the true physicalization of cargo boxes. So when you went and you blew up a ship, they would lose their cargo and you could snag it, grab it, and sell it for money. This was the beginning of true piracy for a lot of people. It spiked. Piracy certainly spiked after this, and it's not been quite as, you know, wild as it was back then. But it's started a new profession yet again. Not only has it kickstarted piracy in a big way, but it's also kind of introduced the idea of what we at GII like to call the box monkey, the person who carries a tractor beam around with them and handles all the boxes. And this doesn't sound like a big job, but oh my gosh, you need a lot of box monkeys at times. Like, not only because Star Citizen is a little janky and you need some help moving stuff at certain times, but also because there's just a lot of little things about moving boxes you don't realize until you're doing it. And with all these different size boxes and all these different size ships and zero G and different gravities and tractor beams, there's a lot to think about. So PES has come a long way in introducing a few different professions, and it's certainly made things like cargo and inventory management a lot more interesting. That also falls in line with an actually very recent update. So the physical cargo was a year ago. Cargo containers are now. 3.22 introduced the ability for these same containers I just mentioned to actually be bought at stores. So you can now buy these containers at boxes, load them into your ships, fill them up with water bottles, and then dump them over the city and rain water down. No, I'm kidding. You can fill them up with water bottles and take them to your crew, and like everybody can reach into this box and grab the water bottles they have or they need. If you're an org and you want to run an event, you can carry a bunch of armor with you, and you don't have to drop it on the ground. Everybody can just grab it out of a box now. You can do the same with weapons, with, I think components will work. Yeah, anything really that you can select in the inventory to buy into, it works. And the opposite works. Now, players can sell from containers in the game. So if you are running mercenary missions, and you go into a bunker, and there's 20 guns on the ground, you can carry a 2 SCU box down there, load those 20 guns into the box, carry it back up to your ship, land your ship at a space station, and sell all the guns. I was running mercenary missions, beginning mercenary missions, making 70 to 80,000 credits every time. And I think it's these kinds of little changes that don't make professions, but they make them a lot more feasible. So another example of that, I think, is exploration. A lot of people ask, when is exploration coming into the game? But we have a lot of that already. We have locations that nobody can find. We have the ability for them to place loot boxes in AI. We have caves and rivers and underground facilities and derelict space stations. And, well, I guess, yeah, derelict space stations and derelict outposts. We have the ability to create exploration assets. We just can't save waypoints. That's really it. And it's not necessarily exploration gameplay they're adding. It's just a feature that helps make it possible. So again, Star Citizen's being built feature by feature rather than profession by profession. And we're seeing that through things like hull scraping, physical cargo, cargo containers, structural salvage. Some stuff is happening faster than others, and the cargo refactor and salvage professions are two that they're really focusing on now. But as we get into the next year, we're going to start to see this happen with things like engineering, exploration, bounty hunting, and honestly, mercenary missions, because we're going to see a lot of FPS improvements, but we're talking about that later. Hold on. Another thing that helps with this is tractor beams. Towards the end of the year, we've seen tractor beams come into the game, both in vehicles and in, finally, the rifle-based max lift tool. This was something we saw leaked, I think, in 2021. Not leaked. Mentioned in ISC. And it gave us a good look at, you know, what the direction they were going in with these tools. They wanted us to have a multi-tool that could lift your minimum kind of stuff and kind of acted as a Swiss Army knife everybody carried with them because it was general purpose. Then you'd have your purpose-built tools like the one that we were just getting for tractor beams. That would be more like for the person running the profession that's lifting a couple of tons of material at a time. So that's another advancement in the cargo refactor and also something that's completely necessary for us to do cargo hauling as it's going to be implemented next year. Besides that, we saw new missions, a lot of new missions. I said, I think, in 2022 that new missions were going to be a very, very important part of 23. We didn't see as many as I'd hoped, to be honest. If we go back to the video I made last year, I probably talked about more than just what we got. But we did get new missions in Orison, the city on Crusader, Correa, the space station around Crusader, Ghost Hollow, the derelict settlement on Microtech, Crusader platforms, the underground facilities. We saw things like the data heist, and we saw retrieve consignment missions. These are missions that are more focused on groups, which is great because Star Citizen needs group gameplay. That's the best way it plays. And box delivery missions are not super sexy in a group. There's not much to do. So these are a solid addition. The racing profession also happened. That also feels like an ages ago. Like, that's crazy. Racing has exploded. We saw some really, really good efforts put into racing at the end of 2022 from the folks at CIG. Really, this all kind of, I think, started with Firesprite. This is a studio that was working with CIG in sort of contracting sort of relationship, and Sony purchased the studio. They bought Firesprite. But some of those devs who had worked on the team also stayed with CIG. And I think they were very focused more on the closed course, bite-sized experiences of Star Citizen that we really do need to sell this game. They threw a lot of effort into racing as well at the same time as this. And we saw new courses come out. We saw the actual leaderboards come out. We saw closed courses in Arena Commander, but also PU race courses. And then just the whole community embraced it. It was cool to see. And it's another new profession alongside the salvage, alongside the quote-unquote box monkey that has taken shape this last year and given a lot more people things to do, which has been nice. Gen 12 was also released. This was another multi-year thing that we've been looking at. This year had a lot of multi-year things, but Gen 12 is something I think I saw first mentioned back in 2018 or 2019. And what it is just the next version of their rendering engine. This is a game that's built on an engine that they are building at the same time. And one of the things that they are building that makes a big difference is the rendering engine. They had to update it so that it could run with the types of cloud effects and atmospheric rendering they want, the lighting passes they need. There was a lot to it, and it took a long time. I saw it come in this year and it did improve things. It's been a gradual implementation. And I will say over the course of the whole Gen 12 implementation, things really did improve. I think a lot of people saw their frame rates maybe even double. Definitely mine went from probably in the teens. Actually, I can't speak towards myself. My frame rates are still pretty low. But I've seen other people get a lot of improvements from this release. And this makes things like ray tracing possible. So we're going to be able to start getting more specific settings for how you can render the game. So you'll be able to choose whether or not your game actually wants to run all those things that load your GPU up. Or you can dial things back more more modularly. There's going to be a lot more settings that they can allow us to see. That also includes things like I said, ray tracing, global illumination, AI upscaling. Actually, I don't think it's AI upscaling, but they will have their own upscaling solution alongside DLSS and FSR. So Gen 12 is again another one of those changes that's like, yay, they're setting the stage, but we'll have to see if they can really carry it forward next year. Jumping back to Salvage for a second. I remember back in 2017, I think it was, when they released a video of the Terrapin, and I fell in love because the Terrapin's amazing, and anybody who does not think so shouldn't play Star Citizen. No, I'm kidding. That's fine. You can play Star Citizen. You're just wrong. The Terrapin was introduced, and it was the first ship that they showed us like physical spaces for our components, and that was really cool. We all looked at that, and they were like, hey, nice. We're going to get to actually take things out and put things in, and we were like, yeah, a couple of years from now, we're all going to be, whoa, customizing our ships. Now, we still don't do that, but we do finally have the ability to take the components out and put them in. That's only on certain ships. It's not on every ship, but it took up until 2023 for this functionality to finally happen. And I'm not going to lie, I thought it was going to take a little bit longer when it did. But it was a big drop. This is another aspect of Salvage. So you can now scrape the hull and you can take the components out. That's just the real expensive part. But this is also important because this starts repair gameplay. This starts our ability to do engineering and it starts our ability to trade. Trading and crafting and transportation is going to revolve a lot around components because components drive ships and we like ships. Trust me, I've seen people's fleets. We love those spaceships. So removable components was a really big milestone as well. There's a lot of big milestones this year that are, they're easy to look over because they're not complete, but the fact that they are actually implemented is a big step forward from a lot of the messaging over the last several years. We also saw, as I mentioned earlier, the Arena Commander remake. So this kind of fell in line with the racing too, but this second part of Arena Commander remake was like, everything got the front end got remade. We got new game types. We got the ability to test new features like master modes in Arena Commander. We got Tank Royale and new tank modes. We are seeing PU-based locations, so locations that you are fighting in the game with other players. Jumptown, for instance. You can now go into Arena Commander and play it to your heart's content in a closed environment, just testing it out and seeing how it plays so that when you finally do in the PU, you're good to go. All of this is adding to a version of the game that could be the biggest part of Star Citizen. Everybody that's listening to this probably knows that MMOs are not the most popular games. What are? Games where you kill other people? No, mobile games are the most popular, but games where you shoot other people tend to do very good. And there is a lot of shooting in Star Citizen, but it takes like an hour to do it. And Arena Commander could easily be a standalone free-to-play game released on Steam that allows people to check out Star Citizen in an environment that's basically Battlefield 2042 and get roped into the fiction, into the weapons, into the vehicles, into the graphics, into the gameplay without ever even knowing that it's linked to an MMO. And at the end of their game session, they say, hey, this is pretty cool, but what's that planet up there in the map's backdrop? You know? Like, how many... I feel like I've probably said that with every single game I've ever played. When I'm playing, like, a multiplayer game, and I'm looking around the map, and I'm like, man, this map is cool. I wish this was, like, somewhere we could go in an actual game and see what it's about. And they're going to be like, hey, guess what we've made? So I think Arena Commander is a really, really, really big part of their plan to expand this game. At least I hope it is. I really do hope it is, because I think it's set up in a good way to do that. And the stuff that they did this year made it something that we can actually show to friends. It still doesn't run well. It's Star Citizen. Okay, give it 2 years, remember. It still doesn't run well, and it needs optimization. But this is a way to get your friend into the game and show them two different game modes in 30 minutes. Show them what it's like to run your turret while you fight off a horde of alien spaceships for an hour. And all of this stuff was made possible this year. We couldn't even load into multi-crew ships before this. So this is a good change. I think it's going to add a lot of life to Arena Commander and make next year a lot more interesting. The Hull Sea was added too. This was a big deal because it was just a hard ship to make, and it's a big ship from the backlog, but it's still not quite as functional as we'd like because we need the economy. SRV was added with ship tractor beams, and this was also an older ship that is a pretty key part of the game and needed to be added. And it also brought in ship tractor beams, which is a big tech advancement as well. Believe it or not, hair is pretty important to us all. We do love hair. And back in 2018, they told us that they were working on the next version of hair. And then it disappeared for 6 years. And here we are, 5 years. Here we are in 2023. We have finally received the next version of hair in the game. And it looks pretty good. I like it. It's not done yet. We're going to get the character customizer next year with more types of hair, but pretty freaking good. Squadron 42 features have finally begun starting to come into the game following CitizenCon. We did see Squadron 42's AI update come into Star Citizen. It's improved things. They're still pretty jank, but you can tell that they're equipped to do more. Medically heal people, loot and scavenge for guns and ammo. They're more responsive, and they fight a little bit better, but there's still work to be done. We got the structural salvage on top of the component removal and the hull scraping. This was the third type of salvage we received this year, and that allows you to actually just completely destroy and disappear a ship. That is good because now we can help to clean up servers, but it's also good because I think that's what people think of as actual salvage. The problem with it coming into the game the way it did is that most people think of it as also not actual salvage because it just kind of emits a field of disappearance, and then your ship is crunched up and suddenly in your ship, or the other ship is crunched up, not yours. That'd be bad. Don't salvage yourself. But this isn't super satisfying to a lot of people. And like I said at the beginning of this pod, a lot of the disappointment, I think, coming from, or rather lack of hype for the features from this year comes from them being only partially implemented. Structural salvage is going to use Maelstrom, and that's definitely going to be something more spectacular to look at. I don't know if it's going to be the all-encompassing physical interaction people want from the Claw and the Salvage on the Reclaimer. I think we may have lost that, unfortunately, and that's a product of designing ships before the gameplay is ready. That's a product of having to fund the development of a game engine by selling spaceships that depend on the game engine to work. I don't know how they could have gotten around this. They could have built a smaller game and then sold the ships and then tried to expand the game, but I don't think that we'd be getting the Star Citizen we're getting now if they tried to build their original vision and expand it. Maybe, but that's not what the backers voted for at the time. They voted for people to, they wanted them to keep going. And so they did. And while I think the feature additions stopped around 2017, implementing those features obviously means going back to old designs and figuring out how to make fun gameplay for future ships while also trying to include the design of the old ships. And the Reclaimer is a big product of that problem. I think another product of that problem, honestly, the Vulture actually, it is a much newer ship, but also kind of suffered from that. And you know, there are a few others that I'm not thinking of right now, but that's just part of the problem. Every game has their inherent issues, and Star Citizen will never outrun this one. Yeah, that's too bad. We also got all major locations in the game updated to Rastar, I believe. So all of the derelict outposts, all of the UGFs, the underground facilities, the regular derelicts, all are now updated to the new ground creation system. This means that as we get new assets into the game, whether they're made for Nyx or Magnus or Terra or Castra or whatever new system might come online after Pyro, those assets will easily be able to be placed into Stanton to help diversify and help build out the lore a little bit more. They'll also be able to easily be moved and updated with loot and all of the things that are required by the new system that builds locations. This isn't a big deal. It's, again, a back-end tech sort of thing, but this is a huge part of CIG maturing Star Citizen into an actual game rather than just kind of a testing area. Throughout the year, we also had 18 vehicles released. 18 freaking vehicles. Only 6 of them were new concepts, so they are improving on their backlog. We also saw work begin on the RSI Polaris, the RSI Apollo, and potentially the Gattac Raylan. There are also a bunch of other ships announced that are going to be worked on in the next 12 months. Overall, the ship team is hitting on all cylinders. They are, I say they are like tied with the Planet Tech team as the most productive group. They just blow through the stuff they're doing. And it's not all the same people. Like, different people are working on different ships, but certain teams have figured out their workflows through their projects a lot better than others. I think we've seen the mission team catching up there too. The locations team has done a good job of getting there as well. And yeah, the ships team does a great job. A lot of cool ships came out this year. A couple of them were kind of misses. I think the Storm sort of fell flat. But there were some very cool inclusions. The Gattac Sulin, I think, was a really wild idea that allowed them to expand kind of the idea of spaceships in this game. You know, everybody at some point has heard a complaint about, oh, spaceships, you know, feel so similar. They look so similar. They're all so forward-facing and stuff like that. And it's nice to see a ship like the Sulin released every once in a while to flip the idea on its head and give us something exciting to look at. So that was cool. We also got to see, as I mentioned, the Hull C was a big addition. The Argo SRV were big. Those are old ships that needed to come in to solidify what they stood for. The Vulture also was kind of there as a ship that we've been waiting for a while. And it represented a big feature that was delayed like 6 different times. So that coming into the game was good. And then the Scorpio Centaurus was, I think, probably the one of the odd ones out this year in that it doesn't really make too much sense yet. The second player in the Antares needs more to do than press a couple buttons and control some missiles. They're getting there. But things like engineering, I think, and largely an expansion to E-War, you know, quantum entanglement and EMP gameplay. Those kinds of things are going to make that ship better. So dropping a ship in prematurely, oops. Is it a waste of a ship? No, I don't think so. The Drake Cutter Scout was also released this year, and it was released on the back of a presentation talking about scanning. And it bummed me out because they didn't go anywhere with the scanning. I think they probably should have left that out, but they used that to sell a ship. And the ship didn't really get released with that improved scanning. So we'll keep an eye out for that next year. But we did get the scout, but no scanning. Either way, good year for vehicles, I think. They improved on the backlog, and they have started on capital ship development finally with the Polaris. So we'll keep an eye on that next year. 2023 was a year of focus for industrial gameplay. As I mentioned, mining, salvage, ship towing, cargo hauling, logistics, and to an extent, repair got worked on. And all of them allow you to earn money in some way. Ship towing, not as much. But mining, salvage, and the cargo hauling definitely have increased the amount of gameplay you can get out of Star Citizen over the last year. Besides that, though, we also saw mention this year of expansions on even that gameplay. So they talked about base building at CitizenCon. That's starting development in the first quarter of next year, as they've said. Base building is, in my opinion, the actual end game here. I think it's the next, for lack of a better metaphor, it's the next carrot after server meshing. And it's going to be the sort of culmination of all of the things we're seeing. All of these professions that we're looking at are all based on finding, allocating. Is that the same? That wouldn't be the same. It's like kind of similar. Finding, collecting, and protecting resources, and then using them, whether to sell or to build. And everything that we do besides maybe touring is kind of based around that idea. So base building is going to be a big part of Star Citizen, and they've specifically been quiet about it ever since they did the land claims. I'm glad they decided to hold back on it, and I think they only mentioned it once or twice when talking about Rastar, but it's good that they've waited until the game has an actual foundation before bringing this up for real, because base building is going to suck the air out of the room once it gets going, I think. Besides that, there's also crafting, which is base building on a smaller scale. This will come in different forms, but that's something else that they've talked about, but not really told us if it's going to be something that works out next year. Finally, there were materials and conditions, things that they wanted to add to cargo, volatile cargo, cargo that needs to be kept cold, cargo that can't go into quantum travel. You've got liquid cargoes and fuels and gases and solids and things that need to be handled in different ways. All of these meant to diversify how we handle cargo and how we transport it. Again, adding into industrial gameplay for next year. Now, despite all of these good things and these additions, I think CIG also struggled a lot on communication this year. Particularly over the summer months, we were left quite a bit in the dark when it came to things like persistent entity streaming and server meshing. They gave us a video on server meshing in the beginning of the year and called it part one. That video left a lot of people confused. I think the video was fine as a setup, but it was easy to misconstrue for a lot of people, and there was no real clarification afterward, which I think was a big miss. I think there was a very easy opportunity to just make a Spectrum post at least, and maybe there was one, but I don't remember ever hearing about it. Then there was also persistent entity streaming. Obviously, it was having a lot of trouble throughout 3.18 and 3.19, and I think there could have been better efforts made to not explain what was going on. They explained what was going on, but maybe help us understand what kind of timeline we were dealing with. Unfortunately, a lot of the gaming community just is not checking Spectrum, so they don't get to see this stuff too much, and I don't think there's any really great way to communicate with the community at large other than on the launcher. But I do think that what did occur over the summer could have been handled better. I think there was also a very, very big drawback in information to kind of build up for CitizenCon. So, you know, maybe that affected things too. I think that affected a lot of people's excitement for the game. There was less news coming out. It was a lot more of the topics that people weren't as interested in, people who were looking for gameplay. And that was noticeable, especially in July and August. Then there was a letter from the chairman. I really do hope that's our last learning opportunity in that regard. For those of you who have been following my channel or come to the live streams a lot, you know that I put some weight into those letters. And I obviously try to add that extra quarter on top of their own predictions that only gave me so much relief with 4.0. I'm now 6 months late on that prediction. But the letter from the chairman at the end of last year gave us a lot of hope for things like bounty hunting and engineering and player interaction and platforming coming this year. None of it really showed up. And I think that was also a big miss on any sort of messaging about why that was. I mean, we know that PES slowed a lot of things down, but we only saw two sprint reports throughout the whole year. And sprint reports are where we find out about stuff like that. You don't have to dedicate a whole ISC to it. You can just give us a 10-second update on, hey, this is what's going on here. Now jump forward to CitizenCon and you'll see why. We got to see restraints at CitizenCon. We saw engineering in its fleshed out in its flesh. We saw engineering in a big way at CitizenCon. Interactions and EVA and platforming, all of the things that were talked about on this letter from the chairman that we expected to see were showcased at CitizenCon. There's a reason for that. Whether it's because of PES or not, the things that were shown off at CitizenCon last year that were expected to be implemented this year were not good enough. They clearly held them back. and wanted to make sure that they were polished enough to come into the game. So they decided to, instead of pushing them out to us, re-showcase them. It was just that this year when they showcased them, they were much more polished. They were in the actual game environment and they were working how you'd expect in a real game. So that was a win on their part, but it really, really hurt us throughout the middle of the year. It made a huge splash at CitizenCon. I think it was a good idea from a marketing perspective, but from a sharing information throughout the year perspective, it really hurt. And that's unfortunate, but you know what? CIG is running things as a business would, and they're going to keep making decisions like that are a bit unfortunate for us who are following a lot, but great when you're looking for those kinds of big news drops. CitizenCon was great this year. But before we get to CitizenCon, let's talk about one other controversy. F8 Lightning's moment of silence. I don't actually know much about this. I'm not a big combat person. I'm not even a big pilot. But the F8 Lightning is a ship that a lot of people like and want. And a lot of people expected it to only be given or sold or earned in certain ways. And this year it was able to be earned and bought in ways other than what people thought there would be. Whether that's based on CIG's communications or not is up to debate, and I'm sure there's a right answer out there. I just don't have it right here in front of me. But this was also a big moment in this year. The F8 Lightning also probably helped a little bit with funding. There was really quite a bit of drama throughout the year, whether it was through a tractor beam looking like it could hurl an Aurora around an ISC, or the F8 Lightning coming out, or I don't know, some other feature doing something. There's quite a bit of drama to go over in Star Citizen. If you want to learn more about it, I would check out the video version of this. It's actually on the same channel on Space Tomato 2, released, I think, yesterday or the day before. It's, there's a lot to go over. That one's like a 2.5 hour thing. But after all this, we got CitizenCon. It was a huge success. I think it finally gave them a chance to show what they were working on and what they've been spending all this time and putting all this effort into, and it answered the two most important questions we had. Squadron 42 and server meshing. What's going on with them? And now we can go into next year expecting more updates, I think, and a little bit more looseness of the information around those two. It showed that the game engine was the big focus over the last decade of development, and that now the game is starting to become the focus. I mean, there's a reason they opened with a 23-minute presentation and then slapped Star Engine on the middle or on the front of the screen at the end. They wanted us to know we have found that tier one and we're ready to start applying it a lot more. That's something that we're also hearing in messaging. A lot more Squadron 42 devs are moving over to Star Citizen. People are saying less than 100 people working on Squadron, which would leave 900 plus people in the Star Citizen category. Now, that obviously that includes accounting and HR and staff that's not actually coding and developing the game and stuff. But that's still a lot of people now moving over to a game that has seen a kind of relative snail's pace development over the last couple of years. It's been faster, but it's much slower than it could be. So we might see a pretty hefty speed up here. A speed up that I think we've already been seeing over the last year and a half, but it's definitely going to be accelerated after this year. The replication layer split has dominated the last quarter of news. It hasn't happened yet. This is meant to be what will keep us in the game even after the servers crash. You get a server 30K, you just wait a certain amount of time, and the game loads another server and spits you right back out into the game, so you never see, you never get kicked out of the game. This is going to be a huge change, a big update, and it's a pretty hefty part of server meshing as well, but it's still taking testing. It's in the preview channel, it's being tested here and there, and things are going well. They're making progress, but it's a little bit later than they thought. They were hoping that they'd have this out by November, December-ish. It's taking longer than they thought, which is a thing, but this is going to be big in keeping the game stable so that people can just play and play and play and play and not worry about doing 2 hours of work, getting kicked out, and losing all your progress. So we'll keep an eye on that. And that brings us to 3.22. It's launched today. The patch is pretty decent. It's received a hot patch for the holidays, and we're going to be off of Star Citizen updates for the next month or so. There's plenty to discuss about the following year, And for the next month, starting from right about now, besides the next episode of this podcast, that's going to talk a little bit about this year as well. But for the next month, we're going to be discussing what's coming in the next year. The new features, the specific things that CIG is focusing on. I will be releasing a couple of videos that talk a little bit more about the big picture of Star Citizen and where we are right now. I have a video I'm working on talking about Phase 5. For longtime viewers, you know about my whole Phase 4 thing. There's a ton to discuss. So for the next 10 to 15 minutes here, and then the following podcasts and videos and live streams and stuff, we're going to get into that. I hope that you've enjoyed 2023. I think that this was a good year. I know that this year did not bring the things that we wanted. Definitely not all the stuff I expected. I'm disappointed by a few of the omissions for sure. But at the same time, I don't know. It feels like seeing somebody you know succeed. I know Star Citizen is struggling right now, but it's clearly coming into its own. The additions of salvage and improvements of mining and cargo and the way that they can now work together, even in this super limited way that we're doing it. Like, this is the absolute most limited it'll ever be, and it still feels incredibly tangible. It feels unique. I can't find another game that gives me the opportunity to do the things that I do in Star Citizen. And I'm glad that at the end of a year like this, one that has been so up and down and crazy and negative and positive, they've managed to put out a pretty solid 3.22 that allows players to just play over the holiday season and not stress out too much. Like last year, this time, people were stressed. This year, this time, we might be 30K-ing a little bit more, but at least people are playing a fairly stable game in a PES environment with a pretty decent future to look forward to. That's what we're going to get into now. So always take this stuff with a grain of salt, okay? I've got my list here of things that we can expect over the next 12 months from CitizenCon, and I've got a couple of different labels on things for, you know, first 6 months of next year and stuff like that. We're just going to touch on the first 6 months here and quickly fly through some of the best things that we might be seeing based on what CIG has messaged, okay? This is, again, a letter from the chairman situation. They've put this in ISC. Now, I think because we are now seeing this actually function in CitizenCon as opposed to last year, we hadn't even seen bounty hunting yet. I'm more likely to believe this, but still, folks, anything can go wrong. All of this stuff can slip, so grain of salt. Now, they're gearing up, I think, for a big year after 2023 felt like a transitionary year with PES and everything, and they're starting out with some pretty big hits. I'm hopeful for 4.0 by the end of the summer, or the end of the year, rather, but I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be in the summer, rather. So they're saying that they think 4.0 will be here, or rather, they expect and hope 4.0 to be here in the summer. I'm hoping for end of year, but who knows? Feature-wise, we've got some pretty big hits right out the bat. The star map is looking at an upgrade in the first half of next year. This is, I said it on my stream today. There are times when I would not play this game if I wasn't making content, specifically because of the star map and the quantum travel system. These are two systems that you just can't get away without using unless maybe you don't fly anywhere. And they're built for a game from 6 years ago now. It doesn't work. It's practically unfunctional. I know a lot of people say they never run into problems, but in my opinion, for a new player, this is almost unfunctional and it needs a fix. So seeing this in the first half of next year is great. We're also looking at the visor and lens system. This is going to allow you to identify objects in the game when you're looking at them. When I was talking about the new player experience maybe a year and a half ago, this is one of the biggest things I wanted to see. Augmented reality overlays on objects that people could use to identify certain things and see if they could interact with them. This kind of falls in line with scanning and radar. Now, I actually don't think scanning and radar FPS is going to be in the game first half of next year. That was not mentioned, but it could always be included because that visor and lens system is very closely related. It's also related to our new player interaction system. We've seen how this system has increased over the years. It started as a very, very rudimentary, ugly-looking, almost debug UI of an inventory that we would just put harvestables into. Then it changed to the personal interaction wheel, and they updated it with more and more options, and now we are finally moving into a system that looks a little bit more polished. It's still a little weird in my opinion, but it does look more polished and easy to use, and hopefully it makes the game more fluid, because one of the biggest things with this game is the fact that you have to hold the F button and then click in order to do things. Being able to switch that to a simple tap of the F button to do things will make things happen a lot faster. This will also include things like physically interacting with doors and buttons and switches and things like that, probably to be implemented slowly over time, object per object, but still adding a lot more interactability and physical tangibility to Star Citizen. We'll also be seeing some pretty big weapon improvements, so charge and drain for weapons and batteries will become a thing. This includes the ability for a weapon to change its fire type based on heat. You guys have heard about the Volt Parallax weapons that we've been seeing in art form for the last few years. Again, another multi-year long-term initiative that's coming to the game first half of next year. This includes a gun that can fire at a certain rate until it gets too hot, and then it emits just a solid beam. And yeah, it's good for one gun, but this will be able to be implemented in plasma weapons and electric weapons and all of the other weapons that run on batteries. We'll also be seeing improved weapon wear and tear, so your weapons will start to get dirty and damaged over time. You'll notice this based on the biome you're in. You'll see this on other people's weapons as they're traveling and adventuring and storing their guns on their ships. It'll also lead to weapon jams if you're not keeping your weapons clean and repaired. And this is also part of industrial gameplay. Somebody's going to be running those repair services. Somebody's going to crafting the things that help with the repairing those parts and those guns. And somebody's going to be running the guns and the parts to make it possible. This is all of these things that sometimes seem unnecessary are adding into other parts of the game that help to build out professions and jobs. Another FPS improvement we're getting is dynamic crosshairs. This is actually pretty cool. Not something I really thought about, but when you're holding your gun in the game, the crosshair, instead of just aiming at a point on your screen in front of you, is going to land on the physical object that your bullet would interact with. So if you're walking and there's a desk in front of you, and from your point of view, it looks like you're going to shoot the wall back there, it will show you on the crosshair that instead of shooting there, it will jump to where the desk is and show this is where the bullet will impact. I think that's pretty cool. I imagine that's the kind of thing that Tarkov would do, which is Star Citizen and Tarkov do have some things in similar in terms of FPS gameplay. Another thing that I guess kind of falls in line with Tarkov philosophy, though I'm not sure if Tarkov does this, is backpack reloading. Something that really hurts me in this game is I get ammo in my backpack. I'm not used to playing games with an inventory you have to manage like DayZ. In this game, you have ammo in your backpack, and I sometimes forget that. So I drop my gun and switch to another gun, complaining that I always run out of ammo, when in reality, there's ammo in my backpack, I just didn't know. Backpack reloading is going to allow us to actually use that ammo in our backpack with a significant time handicap. So you'll still be able to use that ammo, but it's going to take a lot longer to get it instead of if you just had it equipped. I like this because it does help somebody like me who's forgetting that kind of stuff. It also emphasizes preparedness, and it allows us to play the game a little more fluidly. I know there's probably something to be said about this activating easy mode for people, and I get that to an extent, but I don't think that it... I think this is okay. I like this one. And that's not just because it helps me. This feels like the kind of thing that is done to help players stay in the more interesting gameplay than the inventory management. There should be some inventory management, but that should be for the people who are doing all the cargo and inventory stuff, not the people who are shooting. The character creator. We talked about that earlier. We got new hairstyles now, but the character creator is going to allow you to change the actual color of your hair based on the distance from the root. So you can change a lot. There's going to be a ton of aspects of how your hair looks that you can change, from style to color to beards to mustaches. There's a ton of stuff. And because CIG is CIG and they can sink a lot of money into specific types of development, they have actually created a different tapered version of hair modeling. So it might not be a first of its kind, but it's certainly not the industry standard, and it allows the hair to take on a much softer look. If you haven't seen it, I would check it out. It's a very good looking hair model. And that, along with the character customizer, which allows for a lot better sculpting. It allows us to choose a lot more details like tattoos, scars, freckles, skin elements, and other things like that. Like, we're going to get an actual character customizer next year, and it looks ready for a AAA game. So look forward to that. In our industrial gameplay, freight elevators and kiosks are going to be what finally physicalize the cargo hauling profession, in that everything you own will have to be physically called up from the magical underground and loaded into your hangar. You'll then have to physically load that stuff from your hangar into your ship before you can leave with it. No more dragging and dropping between inventories. This is going to ruin Star Citizen for a lot of people. It's also going to make it so that there are actual needs for cargo haulers. And that's kind of part of the pain of a game that's in development. This is going to be something that gets implemented and hurts because there aren't other things that make it obvious. Cargo hauling beacons and the ability to easily trade and pay people for these types of things. But this is part of the development of the cargo refactor, and it needs to happen. This is going to come with, obviously, time to load and unload cargo. You'll be able to pay NPCs to load that cargo for you, maybe not in this update, but at some point. And you'll be able to go off and do your own thing while that's happening. But for now, this is going to mean more physical work for us. Yay! We also have distribution centers. These are a little bit of a sleeper. These are the underground facilities, and they've been kind of repurposed as under and above ground facilities. They have distribution centers attached to them, which have an administration center as well, where I think they're going to probably keep like mission givers and maybe some shops. But the real fun's underground. And the point of these distribution centers is basically to be Star Citizen's dungeons. Now, I think we have multiple types of dungeons. We're going to have building interiors. We have caves. We have space stations that they're making. And then we're going to have towns and settlements and these distribution centers. I think these are kind of like the archetypes, but these are going to be the real bread and butter of gameplay. They're going to have mining, salvage, cargo, looting, hacking, all kinds of opportunities in these places. They'll be geared towards group gameplay where you can raid in, kill a bunch of folks, steal some cargo, and bug out in a ship. They're going to have probably some stealth missions where you can sneak in and steal some data. All kinds of things that they have been building throughout this game, they're going to put in these locations. We don't know when it'll be, but half one of 2024 is what they're aiming for. And I'll probably do a video on these in the first quarter because they're going to be a big part of the game. And I don't think there's been a good summary put together of everything that they include just yet. Couple other things that we're looking at are also EVA Tier 2 and some of the other platforming and advancements they want to include with that. EVA Tier 2 is going to allow us to move around much better in zero G. It'll also physicalize our EVA fuel, so we'll have to use grabby push and pull with our hands and our tractor beams so that we don't just run out of EVA fuel when we're out and about. And yeah, it's going to make things a lot easier. I don't like EVA in the game right now, so this is welcome. Master Modes is going to change the flight model, bringing in navigation mode and locking down our ships and weapons while we're moving around the system. I don't think it's going to include the inclusion. It's not going to include quantum travel or quantum boost, but maybe it will. I don't know. They haven't really talked about that yet, so we'll see. The loot screen upgrade you may have seen at CitizenCon is going to be added, making looting so much faster than it is now. Looting right now is a very painstaking process. It slows you down a lot. And the new system they've shown is this nice flashy screen that comes onto the screen. You can easily drag and drop really quickly, as long as the server is working, I'm guessing. And it looks a lot more smooth and polished. We'll have to see how it works when it's actually implemented into the PU, but at least it looks nicer. Scope improvements are another FPS upgrade we're getting that basically just makes the actual scope real. So no longer are you looking at just a flat PNG on the scope. You're now looking at the real physically changed vision through the scope. As you move the gun around, it changes the vision you see in the gun without everything else. It looks like a very real and very nice effect. Again, more polish for the game. Definitely something that's going to make the FPS experience look a lot better. I think that's just about everything that we know about for the first half of the year. There's also going to be a MobiGlass update and updates to new apps in the game. So a shopping app, I believe they mentioned, and the Moby Glass needs a full update so we can get things like the bounty hunting, the star map, the new inventory management app, and stuff like that. But all of that are things that have been mentioned as being worked on in the first half. I also have everything else that's expected over the next year, and I have a whole list of it. We'll be going through it multiple times throughout the following year, but there's a lot of stuff that they think is going to be coming, and probably plenty of other small things that weren't mentioned. We'll have to see how it goes. It's a hefty amount of features. I think if we even got half of that, as I always say, half of the things they say would be a huge change to this game. And after what we've seen of 2023, especially with things like the PU teams, the NAPU, EUPU, I'm confident that we're going to see a lot of this next year. I'm not going to say half one of next year, but I am very confident that next year is going to be a very big year for this game. I already think this year was pretty big. Next year looks like it's going to be something else. Some of these features are actual game changers, and they're going to make this a lot easier for people to jump into. I'm excited for it. I hope you have all enjoyed this episode of Launch Sequence. I didn't think I'd be able to go this long by myself. I talking to yourself for an hour is a strange thing, but I, you know, for all of you who stuck with me throughout this whole time, thank you. That's very much appreciated. I hope you learned something very interesting today. I hope you were able to get a little bit hyped about next year, and maybe you remembered something that you had forgotten about from this year. I think there's so much to be excited about as a Star Citizen fan. The worst times are behind us. Things are only going up, and a lot more people are starting to realize that. There's always potential problems. I think their communication and marketing and some of the ways that they have been running sales have made me question who's making those decisions. And I'm hoping that they are looking to make the decisions to try and remedy some of those things over the next year. These are things that I've talked about in other podcast episodes. And I think really just being upfront with the backers, you know, as the community gets wider, the backlash is always going to get a little bit worse, but the internal core community of this game is somebody I think they need to continue to hold on to, whether that's through the gameplay, through the vision of the game, through the way that they stick with their communications and their events, whatever it is. I hope CIG will always, you know, always be recognizable to what they have been, because everything's going to change from here. Thank you, everybody, for joining me for 2023 Launch Sequence. Me and Mrs. Tomato had no idea this podcast would turn into what it is now, and I'm glad that people find enjoyment from this, get to listen and learn new things from it, and maybe even be inspired by it. I hope that you're all looking forward to an even better next year. We've got a lot of big plans. I'm going to do more in-person episodes, and we're going to continue to branch out in Citizen Central as well. If you didn't know about that podcast, that's our monthly show, and that features more creators and touches on bigger topics. But I like this one more. Don't tell them. Anyways, thanks again for joining me, folks. You can always watch this or listen to this on audio platforms ad-free, or if you'd like to see my beautiful face and just space over here, you can watch on YouTube. Either way, though, I'll see you all in the next one. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. Merry Chrysler.